Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life. Hello, everyone. Welcome to America Meditating Radio. I'm your host, Sister Jenna. That was Free of Attachments from Inclusion Revolution, Together with Love, which you can get on iTunes or Amazon. So I hope today finds you in a good spirit, feeling heartful and mindful. And if you're not, that's also okay. There must be another vision trying to push itself forward to signal to you where next to go, what next to do. There are those times, you know, when it just doesn't feel right. Nothing's feeling right. If you think this way, if you do this, you just don't feel right. Things aren't feeling right. You don't feel connected to your absolute true sense of self and purpose. And so I would advise just sit, listen to some inspirational things, breathe, do some small chores around the space. Call someone that you really like a lot, somebody who inspires you, hopefully someone who's positive, and you will find at least a little bit of the energy starts to shift. But what I would definitely like to suggest is that there must be something very deeply recorded in the soul that's happening. There are times in which experiences that we have captured from events of the past, they're still sitting there. You've ever eaten food and you ate too much and it's just sitting in you, and how you feel bloated and uncomfortable and sort of unsettled, and even if you go to the bathroom, it's still not enough. Your stomach still feels a little bit bloated. So even though we're living our lives and we are experiencing new things, new feelings, new emotions, certain emotions that left a bad taste in the soul, a bad feeling in the soul, they're still sitting there. So how to get that out? How to channel that energy out of the memory of the soul, what we call in Hindi the chit? How do we take that memory out of the chit so that I don't have to feel like I'm not aligned or feel like I'm not in that base that a lot of times we'll say a space where we used to be or how we used to be? And we can never be what we used to be. We're only what we are today and what the sum total of today is for our tomorrows. So take some time for yourself if you need it, but be mindful that if the amount of time that you're taking is where you're also slowly giving up on yourself. And you can observe if you're giving up on yourself by looking at the quality of thoughts. If the thoughts are not productive, if they're not looking at the good that you are, or observing new thinking, or just, having really positive thoughts, then definitely those old energies, those old memories from the chit are still feeding you, still feeding the way that you're feeling, and we have to disrupt it. We have to disrupt the negative or impure thoughts, because if we don't, we can't feel the heart, can't feel the heart. Today, I'm really pleased to welcome our next guest, Kamlesh Patel, also known widely as Daji. He's the fourth and current spiritual guide of the Heartfulness Movement. His teachings arise from his personal experience on the path of heartfulness. And while reflecting his deep spirit of inquiry and respect for the world's greatest spiritual traditions and scientific advancements, Daji practiced pharmacology in New York City for over 3 decades, from being named the successor in a century-old lineage of spiritual masters. Now fulfilling the many duties of a modern-day guru, he travels widely, extending his support to spiritual seekers everywhere. A self-professed student of spirituality, he devotes much of his time and energy to research in the field of consciousness and spirituality, approaching the subject with scientific methodology, a practical approach that stems from his own experience and mastery in the field. He's a co-author of The Heartfulness Way, Heart-Based Meditations for Spiritual Transformation, and today we welcome Daji to the air. Welcome, Daji.
Thank you, Nina. Thank you for having me.
Daji, thank you for joining us on air today. I know how busy you are, and I know a lot of people are wondering how come so many meditators and spiritual folks are so busy, and it perhaps yes. might just be the current climate. It even feels uncomfortable now to go away to the mountains and just sit there for the rest of your life. It feels like, that's not enough anymore. Am I going to learn much about who I am sitting on a mountaintop under a tree, or am I going to learn more about who I am by engaging with people? And so I'd love for you to share a little bit about how did your spiritual awakening actually pop open? When did it happen for you?
I'm glad you put an idea of mountains and forests. A place where you go and have a rest, repose, and search within. But this Heartfulness Way teaches us how to accomplish this ultimate goal of self-realization while being in the midst of everything that is going around in our life. If that is not the case, then you become a failure, see. Broadly categorize our lifestyle into two mainstreams, spiritual life and material life. And I compare them with two wings of a bird. Can a bird fly with one wing? It can't. And even if one pays so much of attention heavily on spirituality, then life still remains unfulfilled. You know, it has to have a balance. If I run away into forest, how will I support the family and the community that I serve? So I cannot run away into all that. I must balance my life from within, from inside, and we all have the capacity to do that. And ways and means are there. Methodologies are developed over the years, as you have already introduced me, that I did practice pharmacy for 3 decades in New York City, specifically in Brooklyn. And while practicing as a pharmacist, I was able to meditate, I was able to conduct my spiritual life. At the same time, finally balancing with my day-to-day activities, pharmacy, with the family, with the community at large. This awakening was sometime in 1976, when I was desperate about, you know, there comes a time when you come to a dead end kind of a thing, you know, and say, oh, what is that in life? What am I to achieve now? What is next? Purpose, the aim, the goal. You know, you're overburdened with this inner search. Questions arise. And at that right time, a friend of mine who was already meditating under this heartfulness way, where they use the flow of transmission or pranahuti. And when this meditation was offered along with pranahuti, I was instantly transported to a new dimension, instantly. There was no second awaiting. So the trainer who helped me with this shift in consciousness, I'm ever grateful. She was in her 50s when I met her for the first time. And she said, I also have a trainer, and this particular trainer has trained more than thousand people who can transmit and make spiritual seekers experience a shift in their consciousness. And this can be done wherever we are. As I said, I live in Brooklyn, Staten Island, and you know the lifestyle of a pharmacist. Extremely busy.
Yes, and, yes.
You know, when you're meditating early in the morning and you have a certain state of, you know, consciousness, and you are so much drawn inside, you're so peaceful with yourself, you're calm, and there's some sort of stillness around you and within you, which is, you don't think any of it. But you drive and come start your work. And when patient comes, they offer you prescriptions, and then, you know, there are discussions, and then there is so much of joy because you yourself are at peace within yourself, and you're interacting with a person who is so disturbed.
Exactly.
So there is a contrast.
Mm-hmm.
And that contrast further used to push me inside. And when I would talk with so much of peace with them and calmness, I would sit on the sofa with them and say, let's talk about your problem.
It seems like it was just wired in you to be a caretaker of the soul. Because my pharmacist didn't sit with me and talk to me and say how you're doing, you know. And I think, you know, sometimes I wonder, Dajibai, are we just naturally wired to be more caring, more heartful, more spiritual, or do we actually have to develop it?
Well, it is both, actually. We are naturally wired to do the natural thing, to do just the right thing. But over a period of time, what happens? We collect the impressions. We somehow protect ourselves against, in so many ways, because we need some sort of emotional protection. Suppose someone is hurt because of relationship. And that person would be careful again falling in love with another person. And if he or she develops courage and say, okay, let me move on and forget the past and move on to the future. And again, there is a bad experience. Then this person would resist falling in love with another in the future. This is what I call impression. Or in Sanskrit, it is called samskara. So we are geared by our samskaras in making decisions. We become more protective. But in becoming so protective, we are, it is like a house and you keep yourself locked up. because you don't want anybody to invade your house. And at the same time, you cannot get out also. So these impressions are creating problems all around. Though our natural tendency is to enjoy the freedom, the free air that you can breathe, free love that can be exchanged with one another. And of course, there is no guarantee that you will not be vincible or you will not be hurt. Of course, we are all human beings. We fall in love and get hurt. But it's easy to get out of the hurt also if we have the right perspective. And this perspective is, I think, is easily made because of meditation. Let me argue a simple argument I put before you. Can you be happy when you're restless?
No.
You can't. You can't enjoy if you're restless. You have to be calm to enjoy at maximum your inner state as well as the outside, all the company. And if you are restless, even the best company will become a burden to you. When we are joyful, how to arrive? I mean, the craving for joyfulness is a natural thing for all of us. Satchit Anand. I heard while you were put me on hold, a word struck me. And you were talking about memory. And you were talking about thoughts. And you were talking about mindfulness. Now, all these things are too far from the center. Center, if you call a soul, mind is too far from away from it. We'll come to that later. But this joyfulness is not possible unless and until we are calm, peaceful inside. And if how to arrive at this peacefulness unless and until I have my contemplative mind, mind which is so focused, absorbing like a sponge this peace or stillness. And how can I arrive at the focused mind when I have a monkey mind? Monkey mind can be something. I need to come to a focused mind, and that is possible only through meditation. So if you connect these thoughts, meditation, to joyfulness.
Let me step in here because in America, so many people have different techniques for meditating. A lot of folks in the U.S. like to stay home and read a book on meditation, which I have no problems with. But, you know, you've co-authored a book, which is what I really want to talk about as well. And it's about heartfulness. And I'm suspecting it is really about, you know, going inwards and discovering, you know, what those pure feelings would be if I were to think, speak, eat, sleep, make decisions from that heartful way. I'm just jumping the gun on that. So, you know, I'd love for you to explain. Am I good? Woohoo! So could you explain a little bit more about the book and about your heartfulness practice, the way of being heartful?
Okay. You see, we were talking earlier about how meditation ultimately culminates in joy through focused mind, which brings about generalized thoughts. Now, problem with thoughts, it keeps us away and keeps us on the superficial level. Let me give you a small example. Let us say if you are, you remember those supersonic planes we used to have flying between Heathrow, London, and JFK?
I do. The Concorde.
Remember, and then the flight took off at 5 in the morning. The flight in JFK to reach there at around 3 o'clock, 2 hours before.
Yeah.
But when you are on a supersonic flight, what can you see below? Hardly anything. When you're moving so fast, you can't observe, can't see things. When you're on a regular flight, maybe you're able to see a few things here and there. If you're driving in a car, you will see the lake, but you will not see the waves on the lake. You will see the greenery, but you will not see the leaves. You will see the reds and pinks and blues all around you, the flowers, but you will not be able to see the actual flower and enjoy its fragrance when you are driving so fast. Even if you are bicycling, you are able to enjoy it as much as if you had the opportunity of sitting in front of that lake Observe the flower or hold it in your hand and have the fragrance. Imagine if you were to move at the speed of light, and or your mother or your father is moving at the speed of light in your house. He'll be in every room at the same time, and he'll be frustrating you. He, when is he going to leave me? Let me have some peace. He's always observing me because he's moving at such a speed. He's in all the rooms at the same time. Even when I'm in the college, he's there with me. When the mind that we have is moving faster than the speed of a light, how can you enjoy the inner flower that grows in your heart? The beautiful flower, the flower that gives birth to feelings, beautiful feelings that we gather at every meditation. If mind is jumping around, then we will not be able to settle down in the heart. So, when we begin with a thought during meditation, all meditation begins with a thought or a sankalpa or some sort of a suggestion that may such and such thing happen, or may there be divine light, or may there be relaxation. It's all suggestion.
Right.
These suggestions are all mental, which are mindful suggestions. Later on, when we go deeper within ourselves, we start experiencing, we transit from the thinking to feeling. And we can feel only with our heart.
Right.
Mindfully we begin, but the result must culminate into heartful feeling. Now, if I feel transcended in one particular meditation, and for a whole day I feel, somehow elevated and my consciousness is just expanding and I feel so lighter and as if you're floating on clouds. It's such experiences as I have now and then. But I would not be happy even with such beautiful experiences because they are also momentary. They will last me a day or two or three at the most. And then it becomes part of me. And then I start yearning for it again. I heard you talking about having food and then bunching, and then even if you go to the bathroom, you may not be relieved until it is digested. So experience has to be digested. From thinking, we moved on to experiencing something through feelings in our heart. These feelings are so profound that they become part of us at a later stage. This experience becomes part of us. That's when we move on from becoming to a state of being. Let me explain to you this one. When you have a state of some level of consciousness where you feel absolutely in love, right? But this love is focused towards an individual or two or your family or some like-minded people that you entertain with. But this is, again, a verbal thing, you say, loving. It is so limited. Because I'm able to love, though I'm able to love, it is only individualistic. I must become love myself.
Which isn't easy, though, Dadji, because right now so many people are struggling with being able to love the self because the memories, the experiences in life have pulled their attention more to the pain and suffering. So what advice would you offer everyone listening today, especially, you know, to really inspire them to say you don't have to focus on that anymore. It's time for us to apply this method so we can learn more how to love ourselves.
When we have problems, or lots of problems, naturally our mind be meditating only on the problems until that problem is gone. And what do we learn out of these things? Do we become smart or wiser when we are suffering? When I suffer, for example, something goes wrong, we immediately start blaming third party. Very rarely we blame ourselves in the equation. And when we don't learn from anything, let's say I'm suffering because of whatever reasons, I analyze these things. And my first step is, when I'm suffering, I must accept it. That, oh yes, I am suffering. I have to accept this. If I don't accept, you still have to suffer anyway. And you don't learn anything out of the process because you are throwing it, you are repelling it all. You get a chance to study the nature of the problem. So having accepted the problem that, yes, I have this problem, like we studied, we accept it the way it is, and then see what I can become out of this, if I can make a dent, if I can make a difference. And this becomes possible only when we are so focused within ourselves. It's not being selfish, but you are moved towards the center of your being instead of focusing on your mind all the time. Mind, in the sense, you are ruminating over, you are brooding over the problems. Instead of that, go within, dive deep within your heart and see how I can tackle the problem. And this meditation helps, because it, you see, I often, when I conduct the classes, meditation classes here amongst the youth members, especially in India, I give classes to 5,000 people, 2,000 people, 3,000. And when you are addressing a youth who has never meditated in their life, and they are so restless, and the college students, sometimes they make noise in some corner and they will keep their eyes open, etc., etc. But I tell them, look, you have a choice. You are here with your volition. You have come here voluntarily to experience meditation. I would like you to meditate for just 5 minutes with me. Close your eyes and focus on the heart. Some of them would listen. And I tell them, look, I'm going to give you a special transmission we call pranavati. After this 5 minutes of meditation, which has no transmission in it, I would like you to compare it like a science project. In science or in pharma industry, you know how they do the research, finding a new drug.
Once
a chemical molecule is found, and they say, oh, this might work for headache. And then they do the research on noise and things like that. And then they come up with the idea, okay, let's take it further and experiment it with people in India or in Africa. And they select some human beings who become their guinea pigs, and they run the experiments where one drug is selected against the placebo. Placebo, you understand that, which has nothing in it. It's all inert. And when placebo is given versus a molecule A, and when placebo can cure your headache by 50%, and if this molecule also cures your headache by 50%, then that molecule is not working. It's not going to cure the headache. But if this new molecule is going to cure headache of 80% out of the 100, then you can say, yes, this molecule is efficacious in curing the headaches. So when I offer meditation, the first meditation, which is for 5 minutes, which is like a placebo, and later on I offer another 5 minutes of meditation with transmission or pranavati. And I tell them, now you see the difference. Now you tell me, well, in which situation you are able to dive deeper in your heart, how your consciousness shifted because of this transmission. And when they feel this themselves, right in front of their eyes, they are able to become quiet, they are able to calm down instantly. Then they say, yes, they like to have more of. And it becomes a very, you know, it's a very happy moment when the youth, when the youth demands meditation. Many universities and colleges, I think we have our meditation going on now. You know, the number one question of the dean of the faculties would ask us, how much do you charge? I say, I got this knowledge for free. This technique is for free.
Right.
You know, God is, you know, can you put a tag price on God? So I argue like that. So
exactly.
If God was for sale, how much would you put? How much would you pay?
Exactly. Priceless. No, everybody will be bankrupt.
Yeah.
You know, So are you going on any book tours while you're in the U.S.?
I'm not in the U.S. at the moment. I'm in India. Joshua, who has co-authored with me, he is in the U.S. right now.
Okay.
Right now he's on the West.
So are there any book signings for the book in the West by Joshua or yourself?
It's doing it. Yes. Joshua is doing it.
Okay, good. And is there a website individuals can turn to for that?
Heartfulness.org.
heartfulness.org. That's fantastic. So leave us with, you've left us with so many jewels, Daji. I would love to keep talking more, but I know you have to be mindful and I have to be mindful of our timing, but it would be great to, you know, continue our dialogue further down the road. Leave us with one or two techniques that our listeners can take away with today that comes from the book, The Heartfulness Way, Heart-Based Meditations for Spiritual Transformation.
Well, whatever meditation you are doing, please continue. And as I said, have a scientific bent of mind. Experience meditation on the heart. Just think that there is divinity or the divine light already present in your heart. And meditate for whatever time, usually 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half hour, 1 hour. Write your experience and then invoke transmission. I am ever willing to transmit whoever the will is desiring to experience. You can make a request at heartfulness.org and I'll surely transmit to you via this email contact is just my list. And transmit and experience it yourself, wherever you are.
Can we do it while you're on air?
Sure.
Because I know you're all the way in India. Everyone, we are having this heart-to-heart conversation with Kamlesh Patel, famously known as Daji. And I have to tell you, it's been very soothing, very calm, very clear. He's calling us all the way from India. He's co-authored a new book called The Heartfulness Way, Heart-Based Meditations for Spiritual Transformation. And I think Daji is going to transmit an energy to Sister Jenna today, and we're going to see how that works. So here's what I want, Daji. I want America to be happy. I want my mind to constantly be happy. I want my body to be healthy. I want everyone to be in their love. Can you help?
I try. I also like to have all that. But is it possible to have everything in one go?
We can definitely try a little bit at a time. Yeah.
But definitely we can. All pray for
Let's try.
Other.
I'm open.
And I'm transmitting for 3 days, 7:30 every morning, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. If you like, your audience can try wherever they are, 7:30 their local time, whether they are in East Coast or Central Coast or on the West Coast, 7:30 in the morning. 20 minutes, you just sit with an idea that your heart is being filled with divine light and divinity is pulling your attention inward. So if you like, 7:30 in the morning, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we're also very happy to receive your comments of how you felt.
Wonderful.
And,
so we're all ready to go.
Yes. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And there's a special meditation also, I call it cleaning. Like, you cannot feel a vessel with milk or with something good, and as long as the vessel is not fit. So cleaning is required. When heart is not so good, cleaning is required of the heart, in the sense when heart is burdened with emotions, pain, aches, hurt. Let's remove that hurt first through cleaning of the heart, and that is also a special yogic technique that happens through this transmission. If you like, we can meet again, and where I can explain to you this cleaning process, which is also very simple, which can be done every evening, and so you can rejuvenate yourself every evening. Okay.
So, because we have to come to an end of the show, Kamlesh Bhai, tell us, so give a transmission. How do you do your transmission through the ethers?
Well, I do it from heart to heart. I transmit from my heart, and you receive it in your heart.
Lovely.
That's
We're on standby. Everyone in the studio is ready.
Okay. So if you like, you can sit for about 15, 20 minutes. I don't know if you can move away from your studio and sit for 15 minutes. Can you?
We won't be able to, but hopefully we can do this much less than 20 minutes. So if you just be mindful that we're on air and the show has to be finished in about another 3 minutes.
Okay. So that's why I think best would be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, wherever you are, home or, you know, or you may be traveling. You can just close your eyes at 7:30 in the morning, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and have this suggestion to yourself that divine light is already present in your heart, which is pulling your attention inward. And I'll do the rest. And you'll see the magical effect. Okay, thank you for having me.
Wonderful. Daji Bhai, thank you so much, and lots of good wishes with your work.
Thank you, my dear. Thank you.
So, heartfulness, it's the way. Heartfulness is a way, the way. It's our basis of transformation, doing things more with love and with care. I was hoping that Daji would have done one of his transmissions on air, but I guess we don't have all the time, maybe we'll have to do a part two. So remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission, and we really are here to love each other the same, so let's do more peace and love. And I want to thank our sponsors, Vision 2020, Summer of Peace, for keeping us alive. And if you ever wish to advertise on America Meditating Radio, please send us an email at press@americameditating.org. Here's Paul Lifteneger on his album, Faith, The Miracle of You, and again, right after some of these short announcements. Take care, everyone, and be good to yourselves. Bye-bye. In a time of great change, California can light the path to a brighter future. We're in a land of out-of-the-box thinking, startups, and unprecedented ideas. It's time for a shift. Discover solutions. Let's create a world together at the California Vision 2020 conference held at the Sheraton Grand Hotel in Sacramento, California. September 20th to 22nd. Registrations are now being accepted. Go to californiavision2020.com and let's illuminate our path to a better future. The America Meditating Radio is proud to partner with Shift Network on the Summer of Peace Telesummit with Bob Thurman, Carolyn Mace, Hawk Newsom, Kalita Brohi, Daryl Davis, Chief Sylvia Moyer, and many more amazing peacekeepers. Register now for free at summerofpeace.net for the August 7th to 9th Telesummit today. It's our time to bring peace alive.
the time has come for you to honor the miracle of you. To honor the miracle of you.